It's a Good Life, coming to you from Central Baptist Church, located at 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 20 says, "Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." Verse 20 says, "Giving thanks always." This means for everything at all times. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1 says, I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. We're to thank God for all men. And we're to pray for all men. We're to pray for those who are in charge of our country. And we're to pray for those people who we see in our churches. We're to pray for the pastor. We're to pray for the deacons. We're to pray for everybody. We're to pray for each other. For all things, it says, not only for the people, but for all things. Thanking God for everything that He's given us. And then we see that this would also include the Word of God. We're to thank God for His Word. It's quick and powerful and sharpening a two-edged sword. In other words, it pierces to the dividing of soul and spirit. It goes to the very heart of man. And we need to thank God for that. Ephesians 5:20 again says, "Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." Well, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father. It doesn't mean that we're not praying only to the Father. What that word means there, the first word, God, I believe, is referring to God the Son and God the Holy Spirit, the three in one, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We're to pray and pray in Jesus' name because He is the one who is our intercessor. In fact, that verse says, "Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." That is, through His mediation or trusting in Him. John chapter 14, verse 13, Jesus said, "And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." Well, the meaning is that we are to always to approach God through the mediation of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we ask for mercy, it is to be on His account, or through His merits, that's the Lord Jesus Christ. When we plead for strength and grace to support us in trial, it's to be in dependence upon Him. And when we give thanks, it is to be through Him, because it is through His intervention that we receive all blessings. And it's by His merits that even we who are sinful can and are accepted in the Beloved. You say, what does that mean? Well, let's let the Scripture speak for itself here. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 6 says, "To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved." It's just as if we're already with God the Father in heaven at His throne. It's already in the Word of God here that in God's sight, we're already there. Isaiah 6, well, of course, we're not there yet, but when I say in His sight, we're already there. There's nothing going to stop us from being there because we've trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. Isaiah 63 and verse 7 says, "I will mention the loving kindness of the Lord and the praises of the Lord according to all that the Lord hath bestowed on us and the great goodness toward the house of Israel, which He hath bestowed on them according to His mercies and according to the multitude of His loving kindnesses." Well, we're to thank the Lord for everything, and we're to go to the Lord and go to God the Father in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. We're to pray, and we're to send our prayers through Jesus Christ that go into the vault, if you would, the vault of heaven. Nothing can stop the prayer that we pray getting through to the Lord Jesus Christ as He represents us in heaven, to the Heavenly Father. Now, that verse that I just read, Isaiah 63 and verse 7, it mentions the house of Israel. As we pray for individuals, we also need to pray for the nation of Israel. We need to be praying, according to the Word of God, for the peace of Jerusalem. There's many people today who want to kill Jews. And this has been throughout history. People want, there are individuals who want to kill the Jews. And that's happening today. And I recently read an article where Palestinian people, the people in charge, they've actually placed a price on the head of Jews. In other words, a person is paid to kill a Jew. They get paid to do this. And a lot of people don't even realize this. But we need to pray for our people. I call them our people. They're God's people, and we're God's children. But we need to pray for the people of Israel, that God would protect them and watch over them, and pray that the kingdom would come. Now, I don't believe we're going to hurry the kingdom. I believe that God is going to set up his kingdom when it's time. Of course, the tribulation period will take place. The church won't be here. We'll be gone, but the Jews will be here. They'll go through the tribulation period because it's a time of trial for them. And at the end of that trial, when I say trial, I'm speaking of the fact that they are being tried, that they will go through a difficult time, very difficult time, more than any other time in history. It's going to be such a bad time, according to Jeremiah chapter 30. And as the Jews go through this, they will come through what I believe would be called a refining fire. In other words, it'll be tried by fire, and it'll be bad. It'll be really harsh. And when the end comes of the tribulation period, Jesus Christ comes back, his second coming, and the Jewish people will recognize him as the Messiah, according to the book of Zechariah. And as we think of that, we will be coming back with the Lord at the end of the tribulation period. We'll be coming back with him. And of course, we had to go before the tribulation started, according to the word of God. We'll be with the Lord. And during that seven-year period that the tribulation takes place, I believe that we'll be just rejoicing because we're with the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. And we can thank him personally for saving our souls. But then the Jewish people will be set up in the kingdom at that time after the tribulation. And this is what they're waiting for. You know, they've been waiting for the Messiah. They did not receive Christ as the Messiah at his first coming. They rejected him. But God in his word says that they will receive Jesus Christ as the Messiah when he comes back the second time. So we need to be praying for our friends, the Israelites, the Jews, as they are in this world right now. We need to pray for their safety. And we need to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Well, now we look in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 21. It says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Well, Paul, starting in verse 21, talks as to how the Ephesian church, the Ephesus church people, are to live with and how to treat one another as husbands and wives, parents and children, masters and servants, and brothers and sisters. And so much of the life and power of the people of God, this applies to us as well. And we see that so much of the life and power of the people of God is in the careful practice and performance of Christian duties. The Lord never leaves us guessing as to how we are to conduct ourselves as Christians towards our brothers and sisters in Christ. And the Lord also never leaves us guessing as to how we are to conduct ourselves as husbands and wives and parents and children and masters and servants. And here in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 21, Paul gives to the church at Ephesus, and by the way, let me remind you, he's given it to us as well, but he gives to the church at Ephesus a specific way to submit themselves one to another. They were given instruction as to how to submit themselves one to another, and that way was in the fear of the Lord. We read that. Well, not only the church at Ephesus was to submit one to another, but I've mentioned this, we as well are to yield to and to mutually respect each other, bowing to love and kindness one towards another. So much trouble in local churches today. I fear that it's turning a lot of people off and keeping them from coming to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. We should not be in places where we are causing trouble ourselves, and we should never do that. But we should pray that our brothers and sisters in Christ would understand that we need to exhibit the love of God through us and let the world know that we love each other. And once again, we are to do that in the fear of the Lord, reverential fear, not concerned about him crushing us or something like that, but reverential fear, realizing who he is and what he's done for us. He sent his son to die for us on the cross. And, of course, Jesus did not remain in the grave. He came out of that tomb. He's alive today. And because he lives, you and I live. That is, if you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Well, when we submit ourselves in obedience to the command of God, we're doing what God wants us to do. The fear and reverence to God should be the rule and the measure of our submission one to another. You see, we do not submit ourselves in order to simply please our fellow Christians, our family, or even ourselves, but we submit ourselves unto God. It's for his honor and his glory. I'm reminded of James chapter 4 and verse 7. It says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. We submit ourselves to God, and then we can submit ourselves to other individuals. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God, and notice what happens and what we can do. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. We give ourselves to the Lord once we've trusted him as Lord and Savior. Jesus Christ comes into our heart. He saves us. And we've given ourselves to God at that point. But sometimes we walk away and we don't realize that. I'm saying walking away. I'm talking about we get saved and we forget what happened to us, that we've been saved by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And sometimes we don't even realize that God wants to use us in his work. Well, the Bible says that we are ambassadors for the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, we represent heaven once we've trusted Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And we are to submit to God. We're to give him ourselves. Now we've been saved, we've trusted Jesus as Lord and Savior, and then we need to dedicate ourselves to the work that he has for us. I believe there are individuals today who get saved and they don't realize what God wants them to do. I can't tell you what God wants you to do. That's between you and the Lord. Well, how do you find out? You get into the Word of God, you pray, and you ask the Lord, what would you have me to do, Lord? I want to submit myself to you, Lord. I want to know what you would have for me to do. Now, the Bible teaches us that if we get into the Word of God, that he's going to lead us and he's going to guide us. And this is something else that you and I as saved people need to do with younger converts or with other individuals who get saved. We need to help them. We need to lead and guide them through the Word of God. They need to be trained as to how to study the Word of God and get into the Word of God. They need to pray and seek God's face. The Bible says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. And we do that. We submit ourselves to God, not for our benefit, but to bring honor and glory to the Lord. You see, when the divine principle of the fear of God prevails in the heart, it will make a man or a woman conscientiously careful of duty towards man as well as to his or her family, and especially careful of duty towards God. Serve God today, and the first way that you can serve him is by asking Jesus Christ into your heart. Get saved. Ask Jesus to save you, to come into your heart right now. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.